Good morning, and I want to thank the elders for allowing me this opportunity. I want to say the next thing for all of the mothers. I know Michael has a migraine, and I did not practice on him and cause those migraines. So that's always looking out for my kids' well-being. Usually most of their pain comes from me. I think I speak for almost everybody here when I say we are blessed with Rod Amonette. We really are. We were blessed with Floyd Chapelier and his wonderful evangelism. And you can never replace the character that is Floyd Chapelier. And I don't think Judy would want us to copy him again. That's hard on anybody. But it's hard to replace great evangelism. And I think Rod does a fantastic job for us. For me, one of the things that I find is every time Rod begins to speak, he takes me off in new directions that I hadn't considered. And I'm always thinking about the next thing when Rod speaks. And no sooner had Rod finished the lesson than he had been talking about our light unto the world, our character, and he mentioned briefly how we use that also on our influence on our children. And I came up and I spoke to him about, boy, wouldn't this next thing make a good lesson? And you know Rod, he couldn't miss it. He goes, go ahead and make that one then. So I tried, and hopefully you will appreciate some of the words that need to be spoken here. One of the things we read in Romans 19, 20, and 21, and I want to read that, or Romans 9, 20, and 21, and I want to read that because I'd like to look at our skills as parents, as Christians, in a little different light than perhaps we've done it in the past. Romans 9, 20 and 21 says again, but indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another for dishonor? And I thought it was interesting because as I continued to discuss with Rod the concept of we are potters the minute we become Christians. And that's actually something I think sometimes we don't appreciate is we think so much, and of course, as you notice, and I'm sure we'll hear more of later, we've got a lot of young children in this congregation. And that's a good and wonderful thing. They can be a little vocal, but at least they're here. And that's a good thing for all of us. But we think so much on the miracle of birth that sometimes I think we fail to recognize the miracle of parenting and what it means to create a soul, which God does, but the opportunity to help create a Christian, which we have every opportunity to do. I am routinely disappointed in the country that we live in today. I love my country. Like many of you, I served there in combat. I would do so again. But I sure am disappointed in the culture that we are handing off to our children. It is and has become a truly vile thing at times. When you consider the influence of the world on our children today, we should perhaps recognize that it starts at a pretty early age. I think earlier than it ever used to. And it's always interesting to hear those who are older, and I won't point anybody out, and talk about the difference just walking around in our society today. The best example is when you go to the mall. The concept of seeing a lingerie store and the vulgarity for which it displays its merchandise in an open setting would never have happened 50 years ago in this country because we wouldn't have allowed it. There was a concept that there were things that were left unsaid. There were things that were meant to be private. Not today. Today, the world is in our children's face. It is literally after them and their souls from the very beginning. And it is important that we don't recognize it is not an accident. I'd like you to consider when we talk about God's view of pottery and clay, that God doesn't say anything accidental. So think about for a second what a potter does. He does three things. First, the potter thinks about what he's trying to create. And I'd like you to ask yourself this question as parents. It doesn't matter how old you are or how new you are in parents, but ultimately someday you will become parents. If you don't have a vision for what you're creating, then you won't create it. I want to say that again. If you don't have a vision for what you want to create, you won't create it. Ladies and gentlemen, parenting is not a part-time job. And it certainly isn't a part-time job for Christians. We should consider the characteristics that God demands of His children and ask ourselves a question. Am I putting that into the mix that is my child? Are the things that are called out for a Christian there? It is interesting when we consider three things. One, I would submit to you, and I'm certainly happy to have a discussion, being a good Christian doesn't necessarily make you a good parent. It doesn't make you a good parent. Simply reading Scripture to your children, bringing them to church, singing with them, does not necessarily mean that you are fulfilling the full intent of being a parent. Two, there are plenty of examples of failure in the Bible. Take David. David was a man after God's own heart. Ever read how well his children turned out? Not so good. How do you know? One of them tried to kill him. I find that to be a negative. We know we're going to fail. We know our children are destined to fail as Christians. That's what the Bible tells us. That does not mean you train them to fail. And then the last thing that you need to consider, and I think we see this, and a person said to me this many years ago, and I didn't really think about it too much until I started this lesson. There's no guarantee my child's going to turn out to be a Christian. There was a problem with that. She was using that as an excuse for her 25-year-old daughter not being a Christian. And then you start to talk. Well, yeah, I didn't want to force my faith on them. But you think about these comments. I think children have to learn to make their own mistakes. You can't make all the mistakes for them. I will tell you, I told my children, I think I've made just about all the mistakes for you. You don't want to repeat them. That's not meant as a joke. I sincerely doubt I'm the only person here with demons, with failures, things that I would never wish on my worst enemy that reside in my mind and that I pray daily that my God forgive me of. Ladies and gentlemen, that doesn't mean I want my children to make the same mistake, to learn my horrible mistakes. That doesn't make any sense to me. So here's my point. You are as prone to the influence of the world as your children are. If you don't think you are, look at your children. Look at the way they dress. Look at the way they talk. That was one of the things Rod tried to make the point. None of us could imagine hearing our children say, GD. But then they'll say, gosh darn it. And why don't you run up to that line? Why don't you run up to that line? Because you're going to cross it someday when you really get angry. Look at the way your children consider attendance. Do we have to go? If their concept is, do we have to go to church, they get that from you. One of the most blessed days my wife and I ever had was we were both sick. Now, I don't mean that in a good way. But many of you know Andrew. Andrew had just about gotten his driver's license. Rachel certainly couldn't drive. Michael, I think, was like 6 or 7, and he knew he could drive. But they got upset and called the Ramses and said, "Can you come pick us up?" I've never been more proud of my children than that day. I mean, they were actually upset with us for being sick. Because we robbed them of you. That's a pretty good feeling. We can be influenced by the world so quickly. Ladies and gentlemen, do not for a moment believe that if you put that clay on that table and don't act upon it, something else isn't. I want you to consider something. If you put clay on a potter's table and do nothing to it, it will begin to mold because of the weight of the world. Gravity, if you've ever played with clay, if you wait long enough, it'll actually begin to settle. You don't have to do a thing to it. It gets molded. And it becomes an excellent paperweight. If that's what you were trying to make, and my children have made me some, that's all it's good for. Ready to be cast out at a moment's notice. And if you think gravity is bad, think about the weight of the world on our souls. Think about the influence that our media, movies, music, the culture itself has on our children today. It makes gravity seem kind of weak, doesn't it? So first, you have to have a vision. Second, you have to be hands-on. When that wheel starts spinning, you need to do something. You need to do something. And if you're curious what you need to do, turn to God. And then the third thing is you need to maintain discipline and control. Remember what God just said in Romans chapter 9. Who are you to question me? I created you. Now, I can't vouch for the mothers, but my mama used to say that all the time. I brought you into this world. My dad would finish it by, and I can take you back out. Okay? The world doesn't see discipline the way God does. Now what does the world say? Don't strike your child. Teaches them violence. My dad used to say, spanking a kid doesn't teach him violence. It teaches him to cut it out. My dad always used to tell me, I never once turned you blue. Didn't think twice about turning you butt red. You have to maintain a discipline and control based on your vision, based on hands-on. And here's the interesting thing. It never stops. It never stops. Turn with me, if you will, to Jeremiah. Jeremiah 18, verses 1 through 11. Many of you will recognize this. The potter and the clay. And I want you to listen to what God says to His children. And to me, it's a unique example of how He perceives the role of a father. Read with me. The word which came down to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, "Arise, and go down to the potter's house. There I will cause you to hear my words." Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel. And it seemed good to the potter to make. And the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant that I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to pluck it, pull it down, or destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and plant it, if it does evil in my sight, so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I would benefit it. Now therefore speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, Thus says the Lord, Behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now, everyone, from his evil way and make your ways your doing good. Now I know the first thing you're saying. Would I say that to my children? I'm devising a plan if you do bad. I don't know about you. My dad, you say that to me all the time. You disobey me, trust me, the plan's already in motion. Now this is not the idea that somehow we're going to get hard on our kids. The goal here is to recognize that God is in control. And isn't that what we respect about our God? One, He's got a plan for us. We sit here and speak so often about Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ as our Savior was planned before the foundation of this earth. And thank God for that. There was a plan. Two, what did He just say? I'm a hands-on God. I am hands-on. And you should know, if you do my will, you do the things that are good, good things are going to happen. And if you do poor, and you rebel against me, some bad things are going to happen. Last but not least, I'm in control. My dad used to tell me all the time, I love democracy, but it ain't in this house. My dad always said, democracy is about 100 yards outside that door, and we lived on a road called Deer Park Drive, and he said, and there's plenty of it right over there. In this house, there is no democracy. So let me explain. You will never get a trial by your peers. Your brother's opinion will not help you. Now, that was not all bad, because my brother always thought I was at fault anyway, so I didn't have a problem with that part. He said, you're not going to get a trial by jury. He said, you might as well give up on your advocate, because your mom was the one that told me to beat you in the first place. To this day, the greatest influence on my life besides my Christ and my God is my Father. Right next to that individual is my mother. I love them dearly. I remember being at the top of 30 Rockefeller about a decade ago, being given a job opportunity I never in my wildest dreams thought I'd be given. Just a fantastic opportunity. Literally told the CEO of NPC, hold on a second, I'll be right back. I'll be back in 10 minutes. Picked up the phone and called my dad. I really respect that man's opinion. I really respect his opinion. And I'll tell you why. Because he lives his faith. Exactly what he asked me to be, I see that he lives. It matters. I feel bad for people that don't have that respect for their parents. What a terrible thing that is. Let me give you an example. I remember one time, it was more than one time, my mother was upset with me for breaking something. It happened more than once. And she got so upset, she said, you know what, guys, let me fix it. Just go on. And she kind of got upset at everybody. So my dad and I left. We had the truck. And I'll never forget saying something a little derogatory about my mom. All I remember is my ears ringing after my dad popped me. The reason I remember is I can remember where I was on the road in the truck, and we'd come to a screeching halt in the middle of a driving rainstorm. We were in front of a Steffi's house. I remember that. My dad looked over at me and he said, "Don't you ever lose your respect for your mom. Because that's the first step to being an infidel." He said, "Never, ever lose your respect for your mother." I never did. But I'll tell you the interesting part of that story. My dad never mentioned it again. And on my wedding day, underneath a big old tree down in Richmond in front of the church, my dad turned to me and he said, "I want you to know why I did that. No preamble." And I knew exactly what he was talking about. He said, "The woman you are about to marry is going to be the mother of your children. Make sure they never forget that." I fear for our country today when children lose their respect for their mothers. I'm sure my kids play sports. Many of yours play sports as well. You know one of the common themes that I hear on a sports field today? Have you heard the way he talks to his mama? I can't be the only one that hears that. It's amazing. Have you heard the way they talk to their parents? Ladies and gentlemen, that's not the kid. That's the parents. That's us. We need to keep those things in mind as Christians. Because remember this, your children see that too. Let me say this again. You have to have a vision of what you're trying to create. You have to be hands-on. And you have to be in control. They need to see that there's differences. If you would, turn with me to Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. I want to just acknowledge some things that need to go into the mix that is our children. If you're ever curious what it is that we're trying to create, God's not remotely subtle. Because what He wanted to create in Israel, what Christ wanted to create in the first century, is exactly what we're supposed to be helping Him create today. Colossians 3:17. Do all in the name of the Lord. Wow. Stop a second. There's got to be more to it than that. Let me offer this question. Do your children see in you that attitude? Three things that I've told my children will influence their lives more than any other. One, are you going to obey God? Are you going to take up the cross of Christ? That decision had better be everything else coming afterward. Do your children believe that? Ask them today. It's not a trick question. You'll be surprised how smart your children are. My dad was never that impressed with how smart his kids were. But, I'll tell you, your kids are pretty smart. One of the things that I'll tell you coaching kind of brings out is when you realize kids actually have a grasp of some very complicated issues. They really do. At a very, very young age. We live in a computer age. I can't be the only parent whose kids know more about computers than he does. Whenever I've got a problem with my iPad, Rachel takes it and is like, "Dad, let me show you what you need to do." Thank you. Got it. She was flipping through my iPhone the other day to show me why her phone wasn't as good as what she needed. And starts flipping through all the capabilities of what my phone would do. They got some pretty complicated things down. Challenge them. The word of the God, of our God, can be complicated. The concept that Jesus Christ, the man, came down from heaven and existed before Abraham is kind of complicated. That's kind of difficult. But that's why we're here today. Because God incarnate was sacrificed on the cross for us. Be willing to talk to Him about that. Second thing I tell my kids will influence everything is who they decide to marry. One of the things I've told my children, if the person you marry does not share, number one, you've got a world of trouble heading your way. That's hard. That's a tough road to hoe. Three, what are you going to do for a living? One of the things that I struggle with on a daily basis, I'm in construction, as many of you know. Quite honestly, it's a very vulgar, sometimes dishonest profession, and it's very frustrating. I let Andrew have internships with some companies down there. Andrew came back and he said, I don't think I'll be doing this for a living. I said, well now, you can make good money. He said, I'd just soon be poor. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. Something must be getting through. It's tough. I'm sure I speak for a lot of us in the business world when I say, I don't care where you work. It can get vulgar. It can beat you down. So you got to build yourself up. Well, ladies and gentlemen, when you start trying to build yourself up at 25, that's hard to do. Remember that little thing about pottery and clay? Once a flaw is in there, it stays in there. I want you to think about your own character for a second. Think about the one thing that gets you. I don't do drugs. I don't do drugs. When I was younger and substantially more arrogant, I could not look down my nose enough at drug addicts. How could you do that? What kind of person does that to their body? You know why I did that? Because that wasn't my demon. That wasn't my crack. The Word of God has revealed your problem is arrogance. And you are no closer to me than that drug addict is. Matter of fact, you may be further away. You cannot be arrogant and be a child of God. You cannot be unforgiving and be a child of God. And if he has a problem, what have you done to help him? Oh. That's humbling. That's humbling. You recognize that those cracks that we allow to occur in our children's character today can remain. They can remain. Do all in the name of the Lord. Get that mindset in them. Quickly, turn with me if you would to Matthew 6:33. What do we read? We know exactly what it says, don't we? Russell, here, Bob, and said, I knew where you were going. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added unto you. Do your children believe that? Do they see that in you? Romans 1:16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of God. 1 Corinthians 13:13. Faith, hope, and love. Acts 10:34. God's not a respecter of persons. John 13. Service, humility. The very character that we are called to be is the character you need to create in your child. I don't say these things because I've perfected. Most of you will notice my children aren't here. They would be bobbing their head like you've never seen before. He's got a lot of things he needs to work on. Trust me, it's true. They always tend to joke that whenever my wife says, you get that from your dad, that's not the preamble to something good. Okay? Every father knows what I mean. It's usually they did something wrong, and I want to establish, you get that from your dad. But this much I know, ladies and gentlemen, I live for my children. Couldn't sleep last night with Michael's migraines. I'd never seen it happen. Couldn't play lacrosse yesterday. Terrified he'd get hit in the head. When your child is hurting, you hurt more. Because you can't fix it. Well, Jennifer Wilder probably can't. I can't fix it. And you get afraid for him. Let me say this. If you've ever been afraid when your child is hurt, and you know what I mean, the same fear times 10 had better be in us for our child's safety in the spiritual realm. Those things are critical. That we recognize that their physical health is important. We say that all the time. How can we say, when a child's brought into the world, they were born healthy? How blessed is that? But they were born spiritually innocent. And they are placed upon the potter's wheel for us to do good work. So do it. One of the most terrible things I've ever heard, and I've heard it from Christians and non-Christians alike, I never thought my child would do that. It's too late then. It's too late. Stick your nose in their business. Why? Everybody, they roll their eyes. Right there. Stick your nose in their business. God did. God was in Israel's business all the time. He wanted them to know, I care. But what else did He want them to know? I know more than you do. One of the terrible things that we see in the world today is this concept of children have a right to a voice. No, they don't. They're going to get that in spades when they get to college. Why would you have a debate with a six-year-old? I've watched people do that. You ever heard of, hey, you need a timeout? My kids, I tried that one time. They thought that was the funniest thing they'd ever seen in their lives. Do you know how many distractions they have? And by the way, you ever seen them pull out the next toy they got? I mean, some of these things are, I finally realized, the reason they came up with these small handheld toys is because of timeout. And put it right there. Dad will never remember it. Ariel's laughing. I guarantee you, Greg, that's been done on you. Guys, all kidding aside, this is serious stuff. And it's serious because we all feel the same way about these young Christians. About those that are newborn, those that are young. What is out ahead of them is as bad as it gets. And do not tell them otherwise. Do not say, listen, there's some really good things out there. There may be. But the really good things are in the Word of God. That's where you're going to find it. Anything that doesn't agree with this is bad. And I want you to believe that. So that they're armed. They have the armor of God on them. One of the terrible things that we hear today, children need to go to college to hear more truths. Really? That's what we want them to think? Now, a number of us have children in college. Many of us survived college. Barely. But I want you to ask yourself a question. I have been to universities giving speeches. And some of the universities in this country today are nothing short of bordellos. Both of the body and of the mind. Doesn't mean all university experience is bad. But wow, do we need to prepare our children accordingly. There's bad stuff out there. But by the time they get there, they need to be prepared. I remember a story, and I won't hold you too much longer. I did tell Ken one of the things that's truly terrible. Those of you who've done a TV taping, you'll get this. That doesn't mean stop. So if you're ready for me to stop, you go ahead and do this. That means you got 10 seconds, and I stopped in the middle of the TV taping. I remember one time a young guy was teaching a class in church about child rearing. And he made a statement. He said, when you get to Toys R Us and you don't buy your child what they want and they pitch a fit, you'd sure better draw the line. Ladies and gentlemen, if that child threw a fit on you in Toys R Us, the line should have been drawn a long time ago. One of my favorite stories, I'll say it because he's not here. That happened to Andrew and I. Andrew was about 8 years old. Wanted desperately to get a Star Wars Lego. Still loves that stuff. Don't tell him I said that. And I said, okay, we'll go in, but I'm not getting you anything. Are you prepared for that? And of course, what was it? Of course. Sure, Daddy, I'm good. Well, we went in and he was looking, and then I'll tell you, that lingering look. Woo! This one's new. This one's new. I should have figured out he'd already seen it online, so he knew it was there. Another child came up. Same exact toy, pulled no out. Mom said no. I thought the kid had an epileptic seizure right then and there. Came unglued. Screaming. Lay it on the floor. Like nothing ever seen. Other parents come around. Y'all ever seen that? Other parents come around. I'm not sure. I thought they were going to pop popcorn because everybody's watching it. The kid takes a breath. Because the mom's still saying, Johnny, don't do that. I'm not going to listen to it. Don't do that. Kid takes a breath and stops making noise. Mike Andrew looks up at me and says, whoa, you wouldn't put up with that, would you? Both the mother and the child went dead silent. Mom had just she was stunned. The father behind me died laughing. I thought he was going to fall on the floor. I told Andrew, pick up the toy. But you understand that. It means you've given me a gift, and I'll give you one. But it's a gift. Went to the line, the father caught up to me. He said, man, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. I said, if you open up the Word of God, you'll do it too. Guys, we should be proud of our children. We should be proud of our children. But let me say this in closing. When you read the Word of God, God tells you exactly how He wants you to behave as a parent. One, set the vision in your mind for what you want them to become. Don't you dare listen to the world. You have every right to decide, I want my child to love God. And I'm going to work my off to get it. I want my child to love Christ. And I'm going to work to see that happen. I want my child to love the people that he worships with. And I'm going to work hard to see that happen. And you know what? I want him to love everybody that's not worshiping here and see what he can do to help them. Ladies and gentlemen, none of those four characteristics are taught in the world today. And we must set the vision. Two, we have to be hands-on. One of the terrible things I hear in the world today is I'm after quality time. I always hear that. I always hear that from parents in the world today. I'm after quality time. Y'all hear that all the time? Quality time. My children never, ever came up to me and said, Dad, in about an hour, I'd like some quality time. They always come up and say, I'd like your time now. I won't say I'm successful all the time. But I'll tell you a story that's resonated with me my whole life since I heard it. My father-in-law, who has passed away, one of the best men I ever knew, came up to me on my wedding day. As you can tell, a lot happened on my wedding day. And I got married. And in the most somber voice he ever had, he said, I'd like you to do something for me. I know you're going to love my daughter. But I'd like you to do a favor for my grandchildren. When your 8-year-old daughter comes up to you and you're paying bills and you just finished your taxes and says, Daddy, will you do something with me? Do not blow up at her and tell her to go away. And with a tear in his eye, he said, she never came back. Your wife never came back and asked me for another man. And it has broken my heart to that day. My wife loves her dad, and they had a great relationship. But look at what stayed with him. I'd love to take that day back. So go take those days back. Get active in their lives. And last but not least, stay in control. Please. They don't have a clue what they're about to step into. My son Andrew, many of y'all know, is 20 years old. I love him dearly. Don't have a clue. My daughter, 16. Doesn't have a clue. My son, 12, doesn't have a clue. What rests hard on my soul, I do. This is one bad world that rests before them. And it does not want to see them succeed. As we close, I would ask you to think about the following. Is my child reflective pottery? And do they reflect me? And do they reflect my goals for them? And last but not least, do they reflect my love of God and Jesus Christ? If not, start working on it. I don't care what age they are. One thing I've learned from my parents, I still watch how they behave. I still watch the way they talk to each other. I still watch the way they are in their faith. Ladies and gentlemen, you have the ability to be a very, very good potter. But it won't happen without you making a solemn intent to do so. I do appreciate you listening. I do appreciate it. I think I ran over just a little bit, but you didn't put up the 10 sign, Ken. So we're going to get an opportunity to stand and sing. But take advantage of the opportunity that's also given to you to be good potters with your children. Let us stand and sing.